May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Hi, Challen. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning to gather together. And I imagine we all gather here Sunday after Sunday, or we come through these doors in some way because we're trying to stay on a path, a particular way of being human that gives us guidance and helps us be the people that we want to be. I hope that's true. And today, our scriptures address this topic of how do we be the people that we're meant to be in God. And we start off in Deuteronomy with all these rules and regulations. They're not listed, but Moses is reminding the people to keep the statutes, to keep the rules and regulations, because rules and regulations have been important in the course of human history to keep us from wandering away from God, because as the old hymn says, we are prone to wander. We veer off the path that God has set for us. We veer off the path that we've agreed to follow, and we get into all sorts of unhealthy behaviors that create misery for ourselves and misery for other people. The human heart is a magnificent creation of God, and it is capable of huge love and compassion and forgiveness, and it's also capable of great destruction. Jesus puts it very bluntly in the gospel this morning with that whole laundry list of evil intentions that he says reside in the human heart. And I want to point out that this is not Jesus's complete analysis or complete evaluation of the human heart. Obviously, there's a lot more to it than fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. There's more to the human heart than that. And that's why Jesus is among us anyway, trying to build up the beauty in the human heart so that we have more compassion and love and forgiveness, and to somehow make peace with or be aware of our capabilities to act horribly. All of it is there. And psychology bears this up. As the more we learn about the human psyche, the more depth psychology talks about the human capability to do, we all carry in us the fullness of what it is to be alive, which is has beautiful impulses and has destructive impulses. It's mysterious. But the ugliness that is around us, the ugliness that comes out of us, is a fact. And it needs to be reckoned with and it needs to be addressed. So in the Old Testament, a lot of the stories of the Old Testament, it's about following the rules and the regulations. And then in the New Testament, Jesus gives a new commandment, and that is to love, to follow him. Jesus becomes the law. So instead of following all the laws, we follow Jesus. It's a lot of freedom. It's like growing up into new responsibilities. Jesus is the perfect example of what it means to be a human being. He is in alignment with God's purposes for him. He has his sense of being Jesus, but it's all in service to God. It's not in service to his self-gratification. And this is how Jesus is trying to transform us, so that we're like that, so that we're living this life in dedication to something beyond ourselves. He invites us to live out of love instead of all those base tendencies that can lead us astray, that are options. And I think that's what Jesus is, when he says those things reside in the human heart, it's that we're susceptible to them. So it's good that Jesus came and addresses this, the rules and regulations, because that the rules and regulations didn't quite work out so beautifully. And that's where the story in the gospel comes in today. When you take rules and regulations and then you sprinkle in a few of those items on Jesus' list, it makes for a hot mess. You have the poor Pharisees, they've got the rules and regulations, and then They've got a little bit of pride, all the pride of how well they follow the commandments, all the things they know all the rules, they know them better than anyone else, they can point out when someone else is not doing it right, and they feel good about that. So pride enters with rules and regulations, it's not looking so good, and then you get maybe a little envy going on too. Jesus is performing miracles and signs and wonders, and he's kind of against the Pharisees. He's hanging out with all this ragtag group of disciples that are the opposite of how the Pharisees think people should be. And in this reading today, they're criticizing them for not washing their hands properly. So you mix this, a little rule and regulation, a little pride, a little envy, and then boom, you've got this scene with the Pharisees over in the corners pointing fingers and snickering at the disciples and being all judgmental. They've lost touch with why the laws were there in the first place, and they've turned God's laws into sort of a god of themselves. They're like an idol, the laws. They've lost the forest for the trees, we might say. Because rules and regulations are not the point. They're like guardrails for us. The point, and Jesus is reminding us of this, is to love God and to love one another. Those are the great commandments, according to Jesus. And his ministry was troubling to many people because he broke with tradition and he refocused the people who were listening to him to live out of these, out of this heart of love and dedication to God instead of worrying about all the rules. Because as we've seen, following rules just for their sake can just be a whole other set of problems. Love brings healing. Love guides us into the light of truth, where we can easily see more clearly who we really are and what in us needs to be healed so that it doesn't come out as bad behavior. Because if we're not honest about what's going on in us, if we're not clear or aware of what's in us, then we can just let stuff fly out of our mouths and think, gosh, I can't believe I said that. It's like, yeah, there's, as Jesus would say, there's wickedness in all of us. Sometimes if we don't pay attention to our inner world, we can have all kinds of things come out sideways. So it's the problem is not that these tendencies lie within us. Jesus has the remedy for that. The problem is when we let them become behavior, when we take the evil intentions, and that's just kind of old-fashioned language, but the intentions towards stuff that's not healthy, and we give into that through our behavior, that's what Jesus is saying really matters, to act in a way that's in accordance with love. Jesus is not judging us for having these impulses or intentions in our hearts. No. He knows that that's the human condition. That's why he's here. It's precisely this condition that he's come to heal. There's no judgmentalism in his words. He's just telling it like it is, describing the human condition. And he wants us to wake up and be aware of what we're up against inside of ourselves. And his ministry is all about asking people to come forward with what's ailing them inside so that it can be healed. And this is super important, to bring in what's within us so that it can be healed. Because that's a choice. That's a choice we all have. We have a choice to be healed or not. And the things that we bring to the light and we say, oh God, will you heal this? Those things get healed. The things that we hold inside, that we cling to, that we refuse to bring forward, that we decide to keep as a secret, those things can lead to all kinds of sadness in our lives and sadness for other people because we end up acting out badly. So we have free will and we can say no to this healing. And when we do it, it's usually because we're embarrassed or proud, too proud to admit that we're all broken people. So we're trying to look more shiny and beautiful than we really know that we are inside, and that is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy comes from the Greek hypokrisis, which means acting out a theatrical role. Pretending to be something that we're not. We're fakers, hiders, secretive, like the Pharisees. And we have that tendency in us to put on the best face and to try and kind of gussy ourselves up so that we look better than what we're really suffering from inside. So the antidote to hypocrisy is honesty. Because honesty reorients us towards authenticity, and then when we're being authentic, we're being real, we're not being pretenders, we're not being fakers. And because God loves us unconditionally, we can be honest about the sickness that's inside of us, no matter what it is. We can bring it forward in prayer, in confession. We can ask for help for the problems we have and be honest about how broken we are, each of us. And when we don't, we run the risk that the darkness we harbor in our hearts will come out in a harmful way through some harmful action, whether it be big or small, whether it be a hateful comment or even a horrible crime. Bad intentions are just something that human beings struggle with. We all wrestle with some form, to use one of the lists of what Jesus talks about, wickedness. We all wrestle with impulses that will take us astray, that take us away from being the people that we came here to church this morning to try and be. Those things are in us. It's just part of being human. But these misguided thoughts and impulses don't make us bad. They just make us human. What's bad is when we act out in bad behavior or when we deny what's in us. So let's not any of us struggle alone with the hard parts of being human. Jesus wants us to be aware and awake to what's in us so that we can give ourselves over to healing love. We have to ask for this healing so that we can have the strength to live beyond ourselves for God and for one another. And now there are many ways to ask for healing. I want to be specific here. We ask for healing in our prayers. We ask for healing at communion, which we'll be coming to shortly. When we come to the communion rail to take God's very being into us, to be leaven for this goodness that we're trying to grow and for healing from what ails us. And it's also available, healing is also available in our church service every Sunday at the communion rail right here in this little alcove. There is always a healing minister ready to lay hands on anyone who wants to come forward and to speak from their heart about what ails them. It can be specific or it can be general. And of course, there's also healing through so many professional modalities. It's a hard time to be a human being, maybe, but it's also good in terms of healing. There are a lot of groups, support groups, 12-step groups. There's counseling, psychotherapy, and so many different modalities of that. So we can ask for help from other human beings. All of these are meant to help us be honest about what's in us so that we can live more beautifully and keep from spreading misery and making life harder for ourselves and for other people. And I want to emphasize that it can be especially important to invite other people into our healing, especially when we're harboring something in our hearts for which we're ashamed. We have to be on the lookout for shame. Shame brings so much damage to the human spirit. Shame festers in the darkness. Shame is that sense of like there's something wrong with me. I'm a wrong person. There's something deformed in me. Instead of realizing that no, we make mistakes, but we're beautiful in the eyes of God, every one of us. So one way to bust shame, as a Brené Brown, pop psychologist, talks a lot about shame and how it's broken down when we speak to other human beings about what our struggles are. None of us should suffer alone in shame. None of us should suffer alone ever. I want to end with this a little twist and just emphasize the role that speech plays in all of this. Naming what's broken in us involves speaking. And most of us use words to speak our truth, and we use words to speak our lies too. In the letter from James, we hear a lot about how that can go. We have to use our mouths, or our tongues, as James would put it, to express ourselves, and we do so for better and for worse. And James advises us to speak cautiously, to be slow to speak. And what he's saying is that it's important to pay attention to what we're saying, to be careful that we're being truthful. Being slow to speak means listening carefully to whether or not we're deceiving ourselves. It gives room for more honesty, and it keeps us authentic, helps us avoid hypocrisy. And being slow to speak also keeps us from one of the words on that list, slander and gossip. So easy in human community to say things that don't build up other people. So there's a huge admonition today to speak rightly, to speak honestly about what's in us, and to use words only that build up the community. So let's be mindful of that. It's something that most all of us need reminding sometimes. Let us pray. O merciful God, help us to be real about who we are. Make us mindful of what we say. Give us words to ask for the help we need, and help us treat ourselves and each other better. For the love of Jesus, we pray. Amen.